It is always so exciting every Thursday to check in with the artist, the WFSK Artist of the Week. And this is, I'm going to say he's our friend. He's our friend, y'all. The one and only one. And truly a blessing to the ears and hearts and minds of the people. And that is Christian McBride. How you doing, darling? You okay today?
I am great. How are you?
Well, you know, now that I'm talking to you and it's all good and you're good and I'm good, then it's a glorious day.
That's right.
It truly is. Christian, you are, I was thinking about this just prior to us connecting today, and just as a thought, as a human being, you are a walking, talking blessing. And in terms of your ability to be able to bring such quality and beauty and depth to music. I mean, you're just a blessing.
Well, it's funny because I think the same thing about you.
Oh, man.
You down there holding it down in a region where a lot of us don't get a chance to go to on a regular basis. So
that's true.
You know, thank you for doing what you do down there in Nashville and at Fisk and, you know, just representing.
That's
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to go to church now, y'all. I'm just kidding. But Christian, when I got your project, the latest one, I was like, my goodness, this is so essential. And it is entitled The Movement Revisited, A Musical Portrait of Four Icons. And I've had it now for a couple of months or whenever it came out. And I was just blown away by the beauty here of this project. And
Thank you.
I had to talk to you during Black History Month. I thought it was very appropriate. So this is, here we are in another Black History Month, another year. And you have selected the perfect icons to cover in this music. Are these your favorite heroes in Black History?
I have so many, and I think almost all of us have many. But I would say that those are certainly the four that made the greatest impact on me as a kid growing up in Philly. Those were the four that just... it really captured my attention and my imagination.
Mm-hmm. And for those that may not have picked the project up or anything as it relates to the latest from Christian McBride, because if you're like us or me personally, you can just play anything he's done. It doesn't matter. Just put it on. but this one is worth you stepping out and making the investment in. It's a musical portrait of four icons. And we're currently playing daily in our daily Sister Rosa. Let me start with her and what you've done with this, because there are some great voices that are on the project with you to introduce the icons. Tell us who the voices are, the great voices, and we'll recognize some of them, and then more about this particular icon you selected.
Well, I got the great poet and activist Sonia Sanchez reading the words of Rosa Parks, the great actor Vondi Curtis Hall reading the words of Malcolm X, the great actor Dion Graham reading the words of Muhammad Ali, and somebody we all have admired for years, the great actor Wendell Pierce, reads the words of Martin Luther King Jr.
It's beautiful. Very well done. And since our audience is, you know, a little bit, about 60% African-American, 40% not, I have chosen to do the prologues and the various things of the project in a separate playing here at the station. so that people that are working or at their office or whatever, I don't know if they would be able to stop long enough to dwell on what you're saying. So that's how I wanted to present the portions of your new project to our audience here as an educational African-American radio station. We wanted to pay honor to them during this month. And you've done it so terribly well with all the prologues and the great voices. But that's your signature, isn't it? I mean, you got it like that? You just bring from your heart and soul?
Well, you know, I think as an artist, that's really what you're doing. You're exposing yourself. You're opening your heart, and you're making yourself vulnerable to the listeners and the people who follow you. And I think most listeners can really tell when you're being vulnerable and you're exposing your innermost thoughts and emotions and expressions musically. So, I've always tried to do that. Every time I record music or anytime I play live, you gotta let it all hang out, as they say.
Yeah, and you totally do that. The tell the audience, you as the producer and arranger and bassist, etc., who else musicians are working with you on this project?
It's a big project. Other than the four narrators, it's my big band, my 17-piece big band, and also a group of vocalists from the legendary Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem called Voices of the Flame. They were the main choir. Alicia Olatuja is one of the lead singers, and my partner in this piece is the great vocalist J.D. Steele from the Steele family. And I can't do this piece without J.D. because he conducts the choirs and does all of the choral arrangements and the vocal arrangements. So I think of this piece as much his as it is mine.
Excellent. You have 17 pieces. I mean, where do you start? It's like, man, because you take our ears and thoughts on a journey, and all 17 of those pieces just are, you know, delightful. One of the students, I was talking with him recently about, you know, have you ever gone to a live music event? Because, you know, generationally, they're just seeing a DJ and people dancing around, jumping around. And he said, no. I'm like, no? Oh, Lord, we got to get you somewhere where you can enjoy the instrumentation and, you know, the whole thing. Can you speak on that subject and how significant that is to the joy of hearing the music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think seeing live music is that's essential to a certain quality of life. It really is. I find it somewhat troubling that as technology grows, what it does is it makes us more sedentary because everybody can stay home and watch a live stream. They can just go on YouTube and watch something. And, you know, oh, well, I missed it, so I'll just go on YouTube and watch it later. So everybody's lazy. They don't even feel the need to go out and hear live music anymore. But when you watch, but when you experience artists creating right there in the moment, there really is a certain energy, a vibration that gets into your body, that gets into your brain, that really inspires you to, I think it teaches people empathy. Mm-hmm. It inspires them to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that that has to happen. I mean, live streaming is fine. YouTube is fine. But you got to go out and hear live music. And I mean, frankly, you got to support other artists. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why throughout my entire career,
mm-hmm.
I've always been very I've been very conscious of when I go out to hear mm-hmm. someone else play, I always pay to get in because they need to be supported.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I know who they are. I know I could probably get in for free. I could probably call and get on the guest list. But, you know, this jazz world is too small.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody does that. So I have to support my fellow artists, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm urging all people to go out and support live jazz. Gotta go out and hear it.
Amen. And buy their projects when you're at the venue, or if you know, can afterwards or whatever. It makes such a big difference to them. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because so many people have become so reliant on technology that they don't get to experience just, you know, being around other people who feel it.
Right.
There is nothing more happy than going to a major event and everybody's yeah. coming out feeling good about it. You know?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like...
You know, I got to tell you, when I was a kid, my uncle took me to see James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember, obviously, James Brown was just... That's the greatest show I've ever seen in my life. But I remember after the show was over, the whole audience was like, you know, everybody was so happy.
Yeah.
Everybody was high-fiving and, man, did you see that? Oh, man, that was the greatest thing. I mean, like, everybody was just so happy.
Yeah.
So the effect that he had on everyone after the show mm-hmm. was over was just as memorable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the facts are that, you know, when my student, he's probably about intern, he's probably about 19, 20. He's never felt that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to do something about that, because he's for some reason he feels like it might be boring. What? How do you think? I'm just trying to get.
Boy.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, huh? Well, I don't know if I could sit through that. I was like, oh Lord, you know, we're trying to help y'all, but I think exposure. Would change everything, and
big time.
You know, but the desensitizing that's happening with technology, that really speaks to the need to see a live show.
Yeah, that's right.
The need to calm down, y'all. Exhale, everybody. Go to see Christian McBride.
Hello.
Yeah, you'll come out feeling good about it. You will. And Christian, just as the four icons that you honor in this musical portrait, you lay it out so beautifully, but also your work is iconic as well, and you're so young.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm, you know, I started young. I started playing in Bobby Watson's band when I was 17,
mm-hmm.
and ever since then, I've been very fortunate to play with a lot of great legends,
mm-hmm.
and so, it's my job to pass those lessons down
mm-hmm.
and to give younger musicians an opportunity that those legends gave me.
Right.
So, if you like what I do, I always thank those great legends that gave me an opportunity.
Mm.
They put their hands, they metaphorically put their hands on my head and they blessed me.
Mm. Wow. And bless you, they have, because you are sowing seeds into other generations by, you know, taking, stretching the boundaries some with some of what you've done in your career, the musical boundaries. You don't stay so in the box. Is that your secret?
I don't know if I have a secret. I mean, other than I'm just genuinely curious, and I really do love. I love this great art form known as jazz, and so I do my best to really try to keep a toe in every facet of the music. Yeah. You know, so I hear some straight ahead guys playing. I say, "Oh, what is that? I want some of that." I see big band writers. I say, "I want to know what that is. Teach me how to do that." I see some avant-garde players, whatever you want to call it. I say, "Hey, I want to know what that is too." So I just always try to stay curious.
Well, your curiosity is your secret sauce. And, you know, we're feeling it. we definitely are feeling it. And, Christian, your upbringing and being in that musical city, Philly, I'm certain that that had a great deal of influence on how you feel musically.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, speak on big that, time. Would you?
Well, you know, you don't really realize what you have until it's not there anymore. And when I left Philly to move to New York, I mean, New York obviously is the it's known. New York is mythical for a good reason, because it is everything it is believed to be. It's the biggest city in the country. It's like the entire world on this one island called Manhattan. However, once I started living in New York, I realized how fortunate I was growing up in a city that was so fiercely dedicated to music education like Philadelphia, and so rich culturally like Philadelphia. Great symphony orchestra, great jazz scene, great R&B scene, great historic radio town. So I was very fortunate to just grow up in a city where I was constantly surrounded. Well, we all were constantly surrounded by great artists, great poets, great dancers. Just everywhere you turn, there was some great art going on, you know, and my father and my great uncle, of course, being bass players as well, I got to see them play live quite a bit when I was a kid. And of course, when you're 6, 7 years old, you don't really care, you know, you just kind of want to go home, you know. But the older I got, the more I started to appreciate watching them play live. And it got me. After a while, I wanted to do the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. So you were a young musician in high school, junior high, something?
Excuse me. Yeah, I started playing when I was 9 years old. And I started playing the upright bass when I was 11. I started playing the electric bass when I was 9. Started playing upright bass when I was 11.
Wow. And it was bigger than you, huh?
Yeah.
That had to be a sight, for sure. let me ask you, is there a connection in your growing up or back in the day that you can remember? Were you involved in your church and the sang in the choir, or your mom or somebody connected anyway to the community of faith?
Well, my great grandmother, my grandmother's grandmother was the founder of the church that we all grew up in, St. Paul Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And My mother is very hip and new school, because my mother taught me that you don't necessarily have to be in church every Sunday to understand the presence of God and to have a strong spirituality.
Amen.
So my mother was always a little, I won't say cynical, but, you know, she always raised an eyebrow at people who thumped the Bible a little too hard. she was like, yeah, you watch them. They sinning worse than the people that you see out here on the street.
Don't preach it, sister.
My mother somehow instilled a deep spirituality in me without browbeating me to go to church every Sunday. I mean, we certainly went to church, but it wasn't, you know, she didn't grab me by the collar and drag me every Sunday.
Well, and, you know, because, I mean, you clearly your work is from the Spirit. And, you know, spirit to spirit, you know. And me and your mama could talk on that subject, because I feel like that too. You know, I'm like, now don't be telling me. I Jesus know me, I know him. And I could quote scripture, you know, and I walk it. I don't, you know. So that's how am I walking? I'm walking, trying to walk worthy. But right. That's why I said, me and your mama, we can talk on this one. But anyway, your music kind of reaches down into somebody's soul. Does that make sense?
Well, thank you. I mean, I certainly, what I'm doing is, I think I'm reaching down way, way deep as far as I can go into my own soul. And I think the reaction to that is the listener going down there with me into their own, you know.
Excellent. Well, it certainly works for us, and it works for all of the people that support you, love your music, see you at various venues around the world and performances. And I will tell you, yesterday I stumbled up on one of your old YouTubes. I was looking for something, and I think it was from about maybe 5 or 6 or something years ago. I said, look at him. Just looking like a baby up there. I just got so tickled, man, because you look so, you know, our last time I talked to you, because this is about the second or third time we put the spotlight on Christian McBride, because he is definitely worthy of it. And you had a smoking jacket on, or some picture I saw. I was like, you fit my portrait I had in my head of what you look like. You had a pipe, and it was a whole shebang. I'm like, oh, God, this is what I saw in my head. And when I saw that picture, I just died laughing. I said, there's no way. Because I had, you know, sometimes, you know, because I interview a lot of people, I like to just, you know, in my head, I don't like to do everything online, because I'm spontaneous. So I'm just visualizing. I bet this brother has an ascot, you know, because I bet he's got a smoking jacket, and he ties it up. I, you know, I'm in my head going, you know, doing this, and when I saw that, I was done. I'm like, this is too much. So that's the shadow you cast out there. Just cool. Your persona is just cool. I was thinking, I said, that brother's so cool that ice could just fall over him. He is so cool. I mean, it's like, he's an ice machine. He is so cool. how cool is he? He's an ice machine. Okay, now, there you go. You can make your own cubes, man. anyway, Christian, you are, I'm glad to hear you enjoying, you know, me clowning, but, you know, and all jokes aside, you are just a delight. On
it's always a joy to speak with you. We need more of you in the world.
Amen. Long as y'all pay us better, okay? The pay ain't so good when you're good and sweet and pretty and all that. The pay is not very well. You know, when you're a dirty dog and trifling is when you make all the money. So anyway, you know that's true. But anyway, in saying that, for those of you that are regular listeners of WFSK, you know, on Wednesday at 6, following the 401 show with Sharon Kay, is Jazz Night in America with Christian McBride. And it also airs on Sunday afternoon after Joy in Jazz. And Christian, you have really laid that show out and do a superb job. I really have. When I'm driving, you know, home from work and listening, you really do get, you engage with your folks you're interviewing, and you can feel what they're talking about. Which one of the ones was the most memorable? I noticed you and Joey DeFrancesco were having a really good time in one of those interviews.
Oh, man. It might sound like a cop-out, but because I haven't done enough of them to really sort of have a favorite, but, I think we're in our fifth season now, mm-hmm. and I feel like the few times that I've actually had a chance to sit down with one of the artists, it's always been, yeah, Joey was obviously a great one because, mm-hmm. you know, we grew up together. He's my oldest friend in music.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, what were some other ones? The one I did with Herbie Hancock was very special.
Okay.
I was with Herbie for 2 days, and we sat down and had a conversation, talked about his career, and then I emceed his concert the next night in Brooklyn at Prospect Park.
Hmm.
There was one I did with Lou Donaldson, and Lou is the funniest man ever in the history of jazz. I call him the Don Rickles of jazz because he loves to insult everybody.
I need to call him.
Speaking with Don is hilarious. We did a feature on a group from the 40s called the International Sweethearts of Rhythm.
I remember
We did a whole feature on women in jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Los Angeles and I did an interview with the last surviving member of that group. She's 94 now,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Roz Kron. Mm. And it was a joy to speak with her.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the few shows that I've done where I've actually gotten a chance to sit down with the feature,
yeah,
they've all been great.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that I enjoyed very much, and I have learned a great deal. And your team has quality that a caring team has in a production. So they've all done a great job. And how you liking this radio side?
I'm digging it. You know, I didn't see this coming a mile away.
Yeah.
The late, great Mary McPartland was, I think she was in like her 31st or 32nd season,
mm-hmm.
in piano jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And her health had started to fail her a little bit. And she asked if I would sit in for her as her host until she got better.
Hmm.
So that was my first time really getting a chance at doing some real grade A level radio work. And then I started doing the Lowdown,
mm-hmm.
on Sirius XM, but that show is not necessarily a classic radio show. That's just me on stage with my friends acting silly and playing duets.
Okay,
you know?
Cool.
Mm-hmm. But I think the real radio gig for, mm-hmm. me came around 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from someone at WNYC in New York, And there used to be a show called Soundcheck. And the guy who hosted the show, his name was John Schaefer, was going on vacation. And they said, would you mind sitting in for, you know, would you be interested in sitting in for John for the week? And I went, are you crazy? Really? Live radio in New York? They said, well, you've listened to the show. You know, you just interview artists and then they play. But I mean, you know, that show is live, you know, so you can't really make any mistakes. And so, and I had to read the news leads and everything before they went to commercial. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was scared to death. Mm-hmm. And I had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the show one day. Gregory Porter was on the show. Essie Pather Merkerson, the great actress, was on the show. And so that was my first trial by fire. And I guess someone at WBGO heard about it, or NPR heard about it, rather. And they said, hey, how'd you like to host this new show we're developing called Jazz Night in America? Mm. You know, so this whole radio thing came out of nowhere, but I'm really digging it.
Well, we're digging it, too. So we you know, we're very pleased. We used to carry for a long, long time Jazz at Lincoln Center. And yeah. when your show became an option, I'm like, yes. Don't ask me twice. I said, yes. Yes. I didn't even know. I mean, you know, I did. And they were just astounded at how fast. I was like, yes, that's Christy McBride. What? If he just hits the base one time, we're good. Oh, man. But see, that's not, you know, that's how I feel about the music, man. That's how I feel about it. And, Christian, I know we were supposed to be talking about your project, but I just adore what you do, and, you know, you just bless us so much. But I think I have heard you speak a little bit on it on your own show, right?
On about the movement?
Yes.
Well, it was actually kind of cute. I performed the movement Revisited in Philly a couple of years ago, and Jazz Night in America wanted to cover it, but obviously I can't host my own show, right? So they brought in a substitute host, and they brought in Artie Cornish. And so there was a whole 1 hour, and it was a video show, too, so you can go online and watch it. Jazz Night in America covered the movement Revisited with guest host Artie Cornish. And, you can go watch that, or hopefully we'll get some movement Revisited bookings, you know, sometime toward the end of the year or early next year.
Okay.
And hopefully we can play it live again.
Soon. Oh, yeah. That's what's up. Well, hopefully the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center in Nashville will, you know, I was throwing out, I just threw that hint out there. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because
I hope whoever does the booking over there is listening.
Yeah, they are. They know where their favorite station, and they got that sound quality over there that only would be fitting for somebody like you. Christian, you are this week's Artist of the Week. Christian McBride, The Movement Revisited, A Musical Portrait of Four Icons, Mac Avenue Records. For more information about your schedule, your history, everything that you've done, is it the best thing to go to your personal website?
Yes, ma'am. ChristianMcBride.com.
Excellent. Christian, thank you so much for your time today and the opportunity to get to share with you in your own iconic way. Have a wonderful day.
It's always a thrill to speak with you, and I look forward to getting down there to Nashville real soon. Well, and we can hang out.
Well, see, when you hang out with me, it's a whole new world. You know, because Sharon Kay be going to where the greasy places where, you know, I want some, some wings and put some a little touch of gravy on there. And
put in the brown paper bag.
Please, Lord. And so, yeah, it's a whole new world. You know, we won't be doing linen napkins. We'd be like, give me some more of them paper napkins and that paper towel. So, and I mean, you know, it is what it is. So,
it is,
you know, yeah. And we got to have a little cornbread, though. Don't you think?
Oh, come on now.
Now I'm about to do a lunch menu now. I'm about to say macaroni and cheese.
We have some banana pudding.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. We done. It's over. It's a wrap now for real, y'all. It sounds like lunchtime to me. Christian, but when you do come to Nashville, I'm going ahead and prophesying. When you do come, I really do want you to come to the historic campus of Fisk University. And don't come in this area unless you touch, you know, some black history while you're here. Okay?
You got my word.
All right. Thank you so much. Christian McBride, this week's Artist of the Week. Now, let me let him go while you all get into a little bit more music.